The scripture reading this morning is taken from Colossians 3, 12 to 17, which you can find on Pew Bibles at page 1834. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you, Dennis. So, Fashion 101, the Christian edition. We have been, as humanity, obsessed with fashion since probably the first dyed piece of cloth, maybe even before then. I mean, look at these two guys. I thought this was going to work. All right, Ashley, it's up to you, girl. I don't know what happened. It worked earlier. Look at these two guys. Now, you can see right now that at this point, Barney is probably looking at Fred going, I need one of those ties. Right? Fred's got a tie. Barney's dressed in the appropriate brown frock, I guess, for whatever he does. But we can tell by what people wear, oftentimes, what they do, who they follow. I mean, look at this next slide. Any guess who these guys follow? The Cal Bears, right? I think if you look really close, you'll see David and Kimmy Dow in the background someplace there. They're big fans of Cal. Next slide. Who are these guys fans of? 49ers, right? I tried to find a Raider Nation picture, but there were none that I could actually post in church. I'm sorry, I'm a Niners fan. I couldn't help it. Next slide. Now, these guys, they can tell you who they're following just by the way they're dressed, right? These are Amish or Mennonites. You can tell that they have adopted a specific form of dress so that they can show people they're set apart from the rest of the world. They consider themselves holy. They're set apart, right, with the type of dress they use. Now, we probably wouldn't use that option, but the next slide we can see, these T-shirts are all over the place. I actually have a Team Jesus T-shirt that I got from a friend that bought it at Walmart for like $5, I think. Team Jesus, and I love this other one. I got to get this one. I love Jesus and coffee and naps. That is really becoming my life recently as a bivocational pastor. The coffee and naps are important. So we have these options. Or we could wear a cross. How many of you wear crosses daily? Crosses are a great way to start a conversation. I think I've told you before the reason that Tony and Mike came to the church because I was wearing a BHC, a big honking cross, one day coming back from Pete's, and Tony saw my cross and said, hey, are you a Christian? And I said, yeah. And you can't see what I'm wearing? Come on, And he asked what church I go to, and sure enough, he came, and they've been here ever since. Thanks, Tony, for spotting my cross in Todos Santos. The cross is a good way to start a conversation with people if you display it. Somebody might say, hey, I really like your cross, and you can talk about it a little bit. Next slide. Now, Jeremy went through very, very well the things that we're supposed to put on. And this morning is different, right? This isn't up here all the time. We're actually going to do a baptism today. Dennis said that today is all about renewal, right? We're heading into a new year. That's renewal. We're going to do a baptism, which is renewal. We're going to talk about changing what we wear so that we can renew our lives. And the first one that Paul talks about is compassion. Now, compassion really boils down to recognizing that you don't know the rest of the story. How many people remember Paul Harvey? right? He had their radio show, yeah, and he'd say the rest of the story, right? Compassion is important because oftentimes we make snap judgments about people when we see them. I'm guilty of this. I remember a number of years ago, I saw a young gentleman flying a sign saying, homeless, I need some money. And in my mind, first thing was, get a job. You're young enough to go join the military. There's plenty of jobs, right? And this was before I really took on seriously this idea of following Jesus. This was a number of years ago. And I didn't realize at the time, and I've since met the young man, and he's not as young as he used to be, but he had had a brain injury when he was a kid. He was abused, and it caused him not to be able to join the military or hold down a job. So had I known the rest of the story, I probably wouldn't have made a snap judgment on the person. That's compassion. Compassion is trying to understand the rest of the story. Next slide. Paul also says that we should put on kindness. Now, you may or may not know this, but kindness, or some form of it, is at the core of 12 world religions. That's most of them, that are out there prominent. All of them have some form of the golden rule, whether it's a positive one, like in the Christian Bible, where it says, do unto others as you would, you know, have them do unto you. Or it might be a negative one where don't do to others what might cause pain if it was done to you. That's one of the other religions out there. But I mean, from the Baha'i faith to Zoroastrianism, I think I said that right. If I said it wrong, somebody correct me, but that's a tough word. And all the ones in between, Buddhism is in there. They have one. Judaism, Islam, all of these major religions have Hinduism. They've all got something about the golden rule, which tells me that kindness is one of these universal things. There's a guy named Jung in Jungian philosophy. If you ever took philosophy in college, you might have heard of Dr. Jung. He talks about these universal things that happen in all cultures. It's like fire probably didn't appear in one place and transition all over the world. It probably was discovered or developed about the same time in different areas of the world. So there's these Jungian things, and kindness seems to be one of them. Next slide. He also tells us to put on humility. Now, humility, I love this quote from The Purpose-Driven Life. And I added a comma after the yourself. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. C.S. Lewis has a similar quote where he talks about, he says, when a truly humble person talks about humility, oh wait, they don't, because they don't talk about themselves, right? If you're truly humble, you're taking a position of lowering yourself to lift others up. And if you want to be humble, you want to help somebody, you can't do it from a position of power and authority. You have to meet people where they are. And that takes us to our next slide. It takes us to our next slide. Gentleness. I should have worked these out better with Ashley. Deciding to respond to others as Jesus would. Meeting others where they are. One of my favorite stories in Scripture is the post-incarnate Jesus. And it's out of John 21, 15 through 17, if you want to look it up. Jesus, after he has risen from the dead, meets the disciples, and he's talking to Peter. You remember Peter, right? Peter's the guy that goes off the handle all the time, you know. He's the guy that chopped off the other guy's ear, and Peter doesn't think first a lot of times, you know. And before Jesus was killed, Peter denied Jesus three times, if you remember that story. If you don't know that story, it's worth reading. Christ tells Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And Peter's like, no way, Lord, I will never do that. And he does, because Jesus knew. But after Jesus raises from the dead, he meets Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? And in the Greek, Jesus uses the word agape. And if you are familiar with the Greek language at all, you know there's many forms of love. In the Greek, we have one, love. So when you read this in Scripture, it kind of is watered down. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. In reality, what's going on here is there's two forms of love being talked about. Jesus says, do you agape me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I phileo you, which means basically in English, I'm very fond of you. So Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I'm very fond of you, Lord. And Jesus is like, okay. Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, of course, Lord, I'm very fond of you. So Jesus doesn't pursue this line of questioning any further. He comes and meets Peter where he is, and he says, Peter, are you very fond of me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I'm very fond of you. I filio you. And then Jesus says, then take care of my sheep. This is when Jesus is turning the church over to Peter. He's basically saying, Peter, you're the guy. And Peter can't even say, I agape you, Lord. So if Peter, who walked with Jesus, if Peter, who sat with Jesus, talked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, can't say, I agape you, Jesus, how much harder is it for us to really take that step to say, Lord, I'll do anything for you. I will unconditionally love you. I will lay down my life for you. The reason I love Peter is because Peter gives us a great example of who we really are. Oftentimes, we are afraid to make that step. We're afraid to put on this compassion, gentleness, the different things that Paul says to put on because it's hard work. It's really hard work. But Jesus met Peter where he was, and we're called through gentleness to meet others where they are. So if somebody's struggling with a problem of addiction, if you don't understand addiction, don't preach at them like you do. If somebody's talking to you about losing a spouse to cancer and you've never lost a spouse to cancer, you can still be compassionate, but you need to meet them where they are. Let them do the talking. Hear them out. Most often, pain can be really, really helped along by just having someone listen. And that's what compassion and gentleness is about. Next slide. Patience. Now, in the fruits of the Spirit, which is in Galatians, if you're not familiar with Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit are there. And patience follows the peace. And it precedes kindness. So we could do the math. In order for us to be patient, we probably need to have peace in our heart. We've been talking about peace in our heart a lot lately. How do we get peace? We get peace by looking to God for His strength and recognizing that God's in control and God's got our back. We get peace. The fruits of the Spirit actually say, with love, and was in a song, with love comes joy, with joy comes peace. With peace, the patience needed to be kind. Now, Paul doesn't actually say those connector words. He just lists them. Love, joy, peace, compassion, kindness. But I think there's a method to Paul's madness when he puts them that way. So we've got this patience, peace, kindness. So you need patience to actually be kind, which was one of the preceding slides. Next slide. And then Paul says, love. Over all these things, put love. Why? Because it binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, Jesus uses the word unity an awful lot in his ministry to mean a lot of different things. Unity of us in his body, unity of these perfect traits that we're putting on. We're actually wearing these. Next slide. If you were paying attention when Dennis read the text, it started with therefore. And those of you that have heard me preach before know that when I see a therefore, I want to know what's the therefore there for. And typically a therefore points somewhere upstream from what you're reading. So I'm just going to read through really quickly the beginning part of Colossians 3, because this is what the therefore is pointing to. Next slide. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. He died, He rose. We accepted Him, so we rose also. So if you want to follow along, you can go to 13 or 18:34 in your Bibles. He says, since you've been raised in Christ, Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And this is where it gets, this is where the rubber really hits the road. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Now here's the key. When you read these, this is not a list of things. Paul ties it up right here. All of these things basically are idolatry. So anything in your life which takes the place of God, if something in your life has a higher priority to you than God, that could be your cell phone, for all we know, right? It could be your job. It could be any number of things that you're prioritizing above God. That's idolatry, and that should be included in your personal list that Paul has put here. It says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other. Since you've taken off your old self and with these practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek, no Jew, no circumcised or uncircumcised, no barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Now when Paul wrote that list of people's groups, that was the known world. He included everybody. That was an all-inclusive list. And today, that all-inclusive list is still all-inclusive, and it includes, name the protected class of citizens. In California, we got a lot of protected classes of citizens. And Paul basically is saying, those silos that we put up, these imaginary barriers we put between people based on ethnicity, race, creed, sexual identity, you name it, they don't exist anymore because we're all in the body of Christ. God has created a spiritual race, and that's everybody that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, the reason I went back to read this portion is because it's so applicable to what we're about to do. Next slide. I need somebody go down and get the kids. They brought them up. They're bringing them up. Okay. We're going to do a baptism today. And what I want you guys to recognize is that part of baptism is exactly what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about changing our clothes. He's saying, get rid of the dirty clothes that you're wearing, people, because you all got dirty clothes on, every one of us. We've all got dirty clothes. Take those dirty clothes off. Get rid of them. And put on these new clothes that I've given you. Compassion, love, kindness, gentleness, forgiveness. Put these things on in place of rage, anger. You heard the list when I was reading them. We're supposed to change our clothes. And that's what a baptism really is. A baptism is us taking our spiritual clothes that were dirty and ugly from earthly stuff and saying, we're going to step into the new clothes that God gives us. And I've got some things to read to you from the Book of Order, because the Book of Order actually outlines some of the history of baptism and what it's about. And since this is my first baptism, I'm so excited. I want to make sure that we all corporately understand what baptism is about. Now, the sacrament of baptism. Now, a sacrament, for those of you who don't know, is something that the church sets apart as a special occasion, something that is a true link to God. And we do that with two things in the Presbyterian Church: baptism and communion. And we celebrate communion monthly, so we're all pretty used to coming up and getting the bread and dipping it in. But that's a sacrament. That's something we should take very seriously because it connects us to God. And it's a continual renewal of our baptism. And the thing about baptisms in the Presbyterian Church and in other churches as well, but specifically from our Book of Order, it says it's to remind us as individuals that as we participate in the baptism of somebody else, we are to remember our own baptism. And I'm going to ask questions to Andre and Abby regarding some statement of faith issues. And what I'd like you guys to do is to replay those questions in your mind and answer them for yourself as well. Because we believe in one baptism, but that doesn't mean that every time we celebrate somebody else's baptism, we can't be part of it. That we can't be a renewal of our own. So that it goes on to say that the water of baptism is linked with the waters of creation, the flood and the Exodus. Baptism thus connects us with God's creative purpose, his cleansing power, and the redemptive promise from generation to generation. Like circumcision in the past, it's a sign of God's gracious covenant with Israel. Baptism is now a sign of God's gracious covenant with the church and with you and you and you and me and now all of us. This is a wonderful covenant between God and us. We become, as baptized spirits, a greater part of God's family. We become God's children in not just essence but in spirit as well. And what's wonderful is that when we baptize Charlotte today, we as a congregation are going to welcome her into the family of God. And I'm going to have a question for you guys as well, so get ready, there's a test. You're going to have to make a commitment as a congregation and as a family of God to also come alongside Abby and Andre to instruct and help raise Charlotte in the ways of Jesus Christ. So be prepared, because I'm going to ask that question, and your answer, I'm hoping, is yes. So at this point, I would love to invite the family. Anybody from the family that wants to come up can come up. Extended family can come up as well, if you'd like. I mean, you're here for this purpose, right? To witness this? You good? Come on down. All right. So, Andre and Abby, thank you for presenting Charlotte to us today to be part of God's family. This is a special event, Charlotte. We're all going to be your aunts and uncles. Look around. You got a huge family here that are going to love on you. So I have a couple questions for you guys. And I'd like you guys, like I said, to think about these questions for yourself as well as a renewal of your baptism. Andre and Abby, do you affirm that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that you put his will above your own, and that you will follow Jesus' ways throughout this world, and that you will instruct and raise up Charlotte in the ways of Jesus Christ? Secondly, do you renounce evil? Do you say to evil, get behind me, Satan? Do you say, I'm not going to participate in the ways of the world, because the ways of the world are those dirty clothes that we're taking off, and we're putting on the clean clothes that we talked about, compassion, gentleness, kindness, love. Do you? Congregation, this is your turn. Do you, as the congregation of this family of God, this particular corner of God's kingdom, what we call FPCC, do you guys affirm that you will come alongside of Abby and Andre and help instruct Charlotte in the ways of Jesus Christ? Do you? Thank you. Charlotte, this is the key point right here. You ready? We're going to come up here. You guys come up on this side because there's no wires to trip over. If there's going to be tripping done, I want it to be me. Do you know what's coming? We talked about the water and what it represents while I was reading the Book of Order. This links us to God through his creative power. and through his love for all of us, that he created us in his image, which means that we have the opportunity to reflect his love to the world as his image. So the world, when they see us, will see compassion, and they'll see love, and they'll see gentleness and kindness, and they'll say, there's something different about that person. And I want a little bit of that. So Charlotte, come close. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. So Charlotte James Foster, this is one time you're going to hear all three of those names and you're not in trouble. You are now a sister of everybody out here. And they're going to take care of you just like your mom and dad will. Because you know why? You are a child of God. And you're loved by God more than you could possibly imagine. Do you believe that? Yes. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. If this isn't a time for celebrating, I don't know what is. We're celebrating a baptism. We're celebrating a new year coming. We're just full of renewal today. And I hope that you all took to heart those questions of, do you actually, you know, have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And do you renounce evil? Because this is a time of renewal for each of us.